There is a pattern to the life of this congregation and church building throughout the year of services and activities. The experience of being in such a building whose very fabric speaks of our history brings inspiration to the daily activities of serving both community and stranger. When Holy Week begins, the pattern changes as visiting tourists add themselves to the mix. For the most part, it's the custodians who tell the historical story of the building, but minister and volunteers soon find themselves accidental experts on Robert the Bruce as his story fills the summer when the visitors come to meet him. Without dwelling too much on the history of Bruce's life, his lifelong passion for Scotland points at his sense of purpose. Only his bones were to be buried at Dunfermline Abbey. Bruce's death plans suggest his seeking the redemption of his soul and the securing of the status of his family line. As one who could trace his lineage back to Margaret of Scotland, it was important for Robert de Bruce to be buried in the place that she and her husband, Malcolm Canmore, established as a burial place of kings. Over two centuries before Robert de Bruce, St. Margaret unexpectedly arrived on the coast at the River Forth near Dunfermline. As the boat she was travelling on came ashore in Scotland in efforts to escape the Norman conquest, Malcolm III, King of Scotland, met the travelling party that included Margaret and offered them refuge. Margaret's biographer Turgot, Bishop of St Andrews, suggests that the marriage of Margaret and Malcolm was eventually a love match, although it began with political intention. Margaret's youth had been a strict life of loving God before all things, and she'd intended to enter a religious order. William Forbes Leith, who translated Turgot's biography of Margaret in the 19th century, wrote,
"Margaret became the mirror of wives, mothers, and queens, and none more worthily earned the honours of saintship. There was indeed no need for Margaret to bring a new religion into Scotland, but she gave a new life to the religion which she found existing there."
Turgot's History of Margaret describes a woman of real purpose who uses her life to worship God in her daily activity. By building the Church of the Holy Trinity on this site, she hoped to redeem her husband, King Malcolm's soul, bring benefit to her own soul, and secure prosperity for her children in this life and the life to come. Her faithful devotion extended beyond Dunfermline, and other churches were beneficiaries too. She's credited with encouraging King Malcolm in his personal faith, and was known for helping those beyond her household and the abbey walls with food, money, education, and care for the sick and the dying. There is a romance with the woman that is remembered, and perhaps that's understandable for our church community. As a reformed congregation, we recognise the many saints of God who have formed the faithful Christian communities that have worshipped here. And in the midst of all those saints, it would be difficult to ignore the legacy of Margaret, a woman who identified that the sole purpose of life was to worship God in every moment, and then sought to do that, not just in prayerful devotion, but in action and thought. She demonstrated a response to Jesus' invitation to bring people to meet him by allowing her life to give voice to his presence. Bible text and historical life could suggest that the time of active response to the invitation to a life filled with purpose is in the past. They could, though, be the provocation and inspiration to do as Margaret did and bring new life to weary and tired routines and people. The story doesn't end in pages and words, but is instead carried by the people of faith to those who are most in need of the presence of Christ's love in their lives. Regularly, I think I catch sight of Margaret's legacy of demonstrating Christ's love in the life of the church community. I think she stars in the men's group as they look out for those who've been bereaved or are unwell, and they offer practical support, like a lift to their activities of bowling and dominoes and the conversations over a Scotch pie and a cup of tea. She's out wandering in Dunfermline when some of our members offer young parents help with babysitting or taking the baby out in the pram so that there's time to catch up on sleep. She's welcoming the strangers in the guise of a senior gentleman who is prepared to wait with the visitors who arrive at the church door and find it closed, and offers them a cup of tea. These are more than reminders of Margaret's legacy. They're demonstrations of Christ's love, full of purpose and intention, that we will meet Christ in the face and hands of another and be inspired to offer our own demonstration of love. Christ's story is told in food gathered for food banks, in garments made for refugee camps, and in the conversations that break the silence of bereavement. These surprisingly simple tasks, as well as the larger scale and more challenging, can be Christ's invitation to come and see.